All right. I want you to name some things for me real quickly that make you happy in life. What are some things that bring you a lot of joy in life?
Food.
First, I thought that would be first. Yeah, any particular kind of food?
Coffee.
Coffee?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Animals.
Animals? You love animals? Sports?
Family.
What? Mathematics? You got a weirdo back there. What is that? Yes, sir.
Games.
Okay. I heard something over here and I missed it.
Whoa. Melissa said family.
Family? Yes. Very good. Thank
friends.
You, Melissa. Friends? Yes.
Sleep.
What? Sleep. Yeah, we all probably need a little more of that. That's good stuff. Yeah, I thought, you name it, good stuff. Some of you, YouTube brings you a lot of joy, doesn't it? I mean, some of you spend a lot of time on YouTube. Maybe some games. Some of you mentioned games. How about hot fudge cake with ice cream?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff, yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think there's anything wrong with things, just really liking those things that make us happy like that? I mean, let me rephrase it. Do you think it's okay with God for us to be happy with those things? Of course it is. Yeah. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible that says, this is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we need to set our hope on God. The Bible says, God himself says, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy these things. He really does. He gave them to us. And he says, I've given you all these blessings. They make you happy. And I want you to be happy and enjoy it. But also, of course, to give him gratitude, right? We want to give him a lot of thanksgiving for all these blessings that he sends our way. I hope you do that. I hope you thank God for all the incredible blessings he sends you. Now, I'm going to read a few other verses. And these verses tell us some more things that God says should bring us joy. Okay? Fasten your seatbelts here. James chapter 1. Count it all joy. You heard that, didn't you? Count it all joy, my brothers. When? When what? When you meet trials of various kinds. Didn't sound like much fun to me. That's what he said. Look, listen to what Jesus said. This is Luke chapter 6. Listen to this. Blessed are you, some translations translate that, happy are you, or be happy, when what? Jesus said, when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man, rejoice. There it is. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy. He kind of underlines it, doesn't he? Wow. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. Listen to this. This is in Acts chapter 5. The religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, had just warned Peter and the other apostles, you got to stop talking about Jesus so much. It was causing them problems. And verse 40 says, when they, that's the Sanhedrin, had called in the apostles, they beat them. They beat them. And they charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, doing what? Rejoicing. That's what it says. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Isn't that amazing, the name of Jesus? This is what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He's talking about a conversation between him and the Lord. And the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I will boast or rejoice. There it is again. I will rejoice all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. A little later, the Philippians, he said, even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about his future death. I'm going to be a martyr, he says. He said, even though that's happening, I am glad and rejoice with you all. To the Colossians, he said, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. The writer of Hebrews said this to the people he was writing to. He said, for you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully, there it is again, the word keeps coming up, doesn't it? Joyfully accepted what? The plundering of your property. Really? You joyfully accepted that. And then Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial, when it comes to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice. There it is again. Rejoice. insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. Isn't that amazing? Now, when I asked you a while ago the kinds of things that make you happy, I don't think anybody mentioned any of that stuff. You know, I didn't hear anybody say, oh, I love the trials. Give me some more trials. I didn't hear anybody say, I love it when somebody hates me, or somebody excludes me, or reviles me, or spurns my name as evil. I love it when somebody beats me. You know, what? I love the weaknesses. I love the insults. I love the hardships. I love the suffering. I love the afflictions. I love the plundering of my property. We don't say that, do we? No, we don't. I don't think of that stuff as making me very happy. You know, I'm thankful that most of it doesn't happen to me. Which leads me to ask, and I think maybe we need to think about this a little bit, and I got to be careful here, but we usually think of the word joy and happiness as synonyms. You know, if you look up the word joy in the dictionary, it'll probably say happiness. Pretty much synonyms, but I'm wondering, maybe we ought to think of them as two different things. Maybe. I know I got to be careful. I don't have the right to redefine words, but this helps me anyway. How about if we define happiness as being content or satisfied or pleased with our circumstances, and joy as being content or satisfied or pleased, you know what I'm going to say next, with God. How about that? Does that work? I know there's another way to do it. We could say, well, I have joy and happiness in my circumstances. I have joy and happiness in God. But for me, it works really well to think of happiness as the degree of my contentment with circumstances, and joy as the degree of my contentment with God. So, if you've got your heart set, for example, your birthday's coming up or Christmas coming up, and you've got your heart set on getting a certain gift, and you don't get it, might not be happy about that, although it may be good for you sometimes. But we certainly shouldn't lose our joy in the Lord, should we, over it? That'd be silly. We can trust God to know what's best for us. He knows what we need and what we don't need. Can we do that? If my team loses a ball game, am I happy about that? Doesn't make me happy. If I fail a math test, am I happy about that? Doesn't make me happy. If I get a flat tire, am I happy about that? It doesn't make me happy. But I need to get to the place in my life with Jesus where I don't lose my joy in Him over that kind of stuff. And listen, guys, please stay with me. Sometimes the circumstances get a lot more serious. Any of you ever lost a pet? Maybe it ran out in the road and it got run over by a car or something. You know, oh, man, it breaks your heart, doesn't it? I mean, I've wept over the loss of a pet. I bet you have too, some of you. It's hard. But I can trust God through that, can I? He knows what's best for me. Some of you are having or will have some serious relationship problems in your family. Some of you can identify with this right now. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Or if somebody I love, really, really love, I love them deeply, they get sick and they die. That happens. Sometimes our financial situations get really, really bad. Those things happen. They may be happening to some of you right now. If I go to the doctor and he tells me, Steve, you got cancer, buddy. And it's really serious. It's really bad. You're not likely to be cured in this life. Does that make me happy? No. Can I have joy? Well, I should. If my focus is really on God, I need to say, well, God, I know you're working all things together for good. I can have joy even in the midst of that. A few years ago, during a routine test, my wife Vicky, some of you know her, discovered that she had breast cancer. And shortly after that, we were in her doctor's office, having to be a lady doctor. We did not know her, but she was recommended to us, and we were discussing what her treatment should be. And the doctor asked, how are you handling all this? And before Vicky answered, I spoke up, and I told the doctor, well, actually, you'd probably be surprised. Vicky's handling it amazingly well. Now, Vicky's very, very strong Christian, very strong in her faith. And the doctor, this lady doctor, turned to Vicky and said, I think you need to tell your husband that there are times when you go into your room and scream and yell and cry, why me, why me, why me? And Vicky calmly looked at the doctor in the eye. I'll never forget this. And she said, I just don't do that. She said, God gives me the grace I need. The question is not why me. The question is why not me? And that doctor gave her a strange look and just changed the subject. I didn't think she understood at all. And by the way, in case you're wondering, her cancer after surgery and after radiation treatment has been gone now for several years, so we're thankful to the Lord for that. That's a really big blessing. But it was a tough time for us. Listen, guys, we have Christian brothers and sisters trusting Jesus just like we are in other countries right now who are being driven out of their homes, Some of them had to flee their countries. Some of them being arrested, put in jail, losing their jobs, sometimes losing their lives just because of trusting Jesus. Are they happy about that? Probably not. I'm not. I don't think they are. But I tell you what, if you could talk to these Christians, you know what you would find in many, many cases? They're bubbling over with joy in the Lord. They're not happy about their circumstances, but they know the Lord's in charge. Here's the deal. Can any of you remember the very first time you ever skinned your knee, maybe when you were a little kid, or your elbow, or maybe busted your lip? First time you ever saw your own blood. Some of you are nodding your head. Do you remember that? It was pretty traumatic, wasn't it? Believe it or not, I can remember that. And it's amazing. I know I was 3 years old because of the circumstances. Of course, I didn't realize I was three at the time. I was just a kid running around. But it's the earliest memory I have. It may be at this point in my life a memory of a memory of a memory of a memory. I don't know how that works. But anyway, I still have it in my brain. And I was playing at my grandparents' house, and they had a sidewalk that went around the edge of the house. And I was just running along that little sidewalk, and I stumbled over my own feet, and I fell on that concrete sidewalk and hit my knee, and it skinned it up. The blood came out of the knee there. And I started screaming. Well, they heard me screaming. They came to my rescue. My grandma came out, picked me up on her shoulder, and carried me back towards the house. And while she was doing that, I was panicking. I was traumatized because I thought, she's leaving my skin back there on the sidewalk somewhere. I thought, I got to have that skin. I don't want to have a bloody spot on my knee. That's the best I knew. And I was traumatized. Now, it was awful. It was very, very awful. Some of you can identify. Now, I could just barely remember that, right? Just barely remember it. At the time, it seemed awful. But now, when I mention it, I don't cry. I laugh. You laugh, too. It's kind of funny, isn't it? It's really kind of a minor miracle. I can even remember it all. It's just so long ago, and it's so minor now. Let me ask you something. How long do you expect to live in this life? You don't know, do you? It's up to God. Not up to us, right? You have no idea. Neither do I. In April of this year, there was a woman by the name of Nobita Jima, and she died in Kikai, Japan. She was 117. And on the day of her death, she was the oldest known living person in the world that we knew officially. The oldest person who's lived in modern times, whose age could be verified, was a woman named Jean Calment. She was from France. She died in France in 1997. She was 122. She was probably not going to live longer than that. Most likely. Most of us are going to die a lot sooner than that, right? Now let me ask you this. If you're trusting Jesus, how long are you going to live? I'm not talking about this body now. I'm talking about you. How long are you going to live?
Forever.
Forever. Forever. So 10,000 years from now, you'll still be around. You'll have something you're responsible for. You'll be doing something. I was 3 years old when I skinned my knee. And I suffered maybe an hour or two, I don't know. But at the time, it just seemed overwhelming. It seemed like the end of my world. Now I'm 72. Listen, do the math. Charlie can do this for you. If in 2,000 years, my 72 years that I've lived so far, which seems really old to you, it is really old, is going to be like my 3 years to my 72 years now. You get it? A couple of thousand years, my whole life is going to seem just like that. It's not uncommon, guys, and some of you can identify with this, for people to have issues that require medical treatment, and it causes pain, and it causes discomfort, maybe for many, many months, maybe for years, maybe even a lifetime. Have any of you had medical issues that went on for several months? Can you identify? Nod your heads. Yeah, several of you have. Not any fun, is it? It's tough. I have too. Once you're healed of that, by the way, it isn't long till you're totally over it. I mean, you may have months and months of pain, and during that period of time, it seems like it's never going to end. It seems like, oh man, this is so awful. But once it's over, it just fades away. And you're laughing and playing and enjoying life again. Some of you had experiences like that. And it's that perspective that caused the Holy Spirit to tell Paul to write this. Listen to this. You remember, first of all, how much Paul suffered? You need to look that up sometime. I don't have time to go into it right now. But he was beaten many, many times. He was in prison. He was hungry a lot. He was out in the cold and the elements. He suffered a lot, finally beheaded. Listen to this. For this light momentary affliction. What? This light momentary affliction. Paul, you suffered a lot. This light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And he said it this way to the Romans, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth being compared with the glory that should be revealed to us. So we need to just keep on thanking God, listen, for the blessings. Oh, we've got lots of them. Thank God for all the material things, all the people, the health that you have. Thank God for those things and be happy. But we also need to learn to thank God for the things that he allows to happen that don't make us happy. Whether it's maybe our health being gone for a while, or difficult people in our lives, or maybe a lack of material things, whatever it is. Because he's using those things to prepare us for the time when we'll no longer need these bodies. He's preparing us for a life after this. That's his main goal. So the point I'm trying to make here is don't ever, ever, ever lose your joy in him. You may not be happy with things, but don't lose your joy in the Lord. Because we know he really is working everything together for good. And if we can get that perspective of eternity just a little bit more in our heads, the worst pain, the worst suffering we have to go through in this life will seem kind of small. It really will, if we can get that perspective. One of these days you'll see it. It'll happen. It may be hard for you to believe right now, but it will. Meanwhile, when we go through those times, the more we can trust Jesus, the more we can keep our focus on him instead of on the tough stuff, that the more joy you're going to have. He wants us to look to the future. He wants us to realize to the depths of our being, he's got it under control. He knows what he's doing. He's got your life totally under his control, and you can trust him with it. So even when you can't figure it out, trust him. He said the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's to be revealed to us. It's going to turn out just fine. Just keep trusting Jesus, okay? Okay, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for these kids and for their attentiveness and for their desire to learn more and to be more like Jesus. Lord, thank you so much that you've blessed us with so many, many, many blessings. Lord, thank you for the privilege of living where we live, when we live, so that we've got these cell phones and we've got cars that are comfortable and we've got homes that are comfortable. We've got air conditioning. We've got a school that's comfortable. Lord, we've got people that love us all around us. Lord, that's so sweet. And Lord, you've given most of us pretty good health. It's so good. It's so sweet, Lord. We thank you. And we can go on and on and on with blessings, the shoes on our feet, the nice clothes that we get to wear, the things we get to watch on YouTube, Lord, all kinds of neat things that you've allowed us, the good food we get to eat, on and on and on and on. And yet, Lord, in the midst of it all, sometimes you allow us to go through tough times, some tribulation, some suffering, some affliction, to get us ready for eternity. So when we go through those things, Lord, help us to keep our focus on you. Help us never to become bitter. Help us not to become resentful. Help us to keep our joy in you all the way through, knowing that one of these days we'll look back on it and it'll be just a distant memory. So teach us, Lord, to trust you more and more and to rejoice in you no matter what. Help us to worship you well as we sing these songs together and get glory through us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.